So I'd love to start out with May's going to be fun. You have the new book coming out. Tell me a bit about the jitters of having the book come out, this being the most kind of autobiographical, obviously you and your father's relationship. What's that like?
It is nerve-wracking in a way that is different from all my other books. You know, the good news is that I have a really close relationship with my dad, and I'm not worried. You know, like, I think that if I had written about, like, an autobiographical novel about my really, like, a really fraught relationship, I would be freaking out right about now. But because the book is really about how much I love my dad, I'm not worried. He already knows, you know.
Well, I'm curious, growing up, how much were you a reader of his? I mean, it's kind of scary material. How much did he impact your early life with that?
Oh, enormously. I mean, I read his books starting when I was very young. Like, I remember bringing Coco, which is like a pretty grisly novel about Vietnam and like serial killers, when I was at summer camp. I brought a mass market paperback of it when I was probably 10 or 11.
Wow, okay.
Like, I understood that, like, his books were a huge part of our life, you know, and of my family and how everything worked. And so I wanted to read them to know what they were about. And so I started reading them probably too young. But I loved them, and I loved, like, getting to understand this other part of it, other than, I mean, because he's not a scary person at all, you know. He's like a very funny, like, I mean, I don't know if I'd call him like a normal dad, because I don't know what that is, but he was always around and playful and entertaining, you know. Like, it wasn't like he was like a scary brooding guy in my childhood.
Just Steve and his friend that he would write with.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, I always knew all these guys who wrote really scary stuff, but all it really meant was that we had a lot of scary stuff around the house. You know, like weird horror-y, like, art and, like, objects, like skulls, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
that's very cool.
Yeah.
Did he influence your going, like, college route in certain ways? I mean, it seems very similar. Or were those the natural way where you wanted to go? I mean, did it? And while you were there, was there any, not blowback, but any feel of his presence with maybe, you know, the professors or anything like that?
No, I mean, every now and then, you know, when I was in college, one of my writing professors was Dan Shawn, who also writes really, really great books that are often creepy. Not horror, but creepy. And he didn't tell me until maybe he had already stopped being my teacher that he loved my dad. Because he didn't want, you know,
That'd be awkward.
Yeah. But other than that, like, I mean, my dad, you know, obviously found great success as, like, a, you know, commercial writer that, like, you know, sold millions of books. But really, I think he always wanted to be a poet and, like, to be seen as an intellectual, which he is. And so I think that's, if he wanted anything for me, it was that. Like, he wanted, like, if I were a poet, that would be, like, the pinnacle of what he wanted for me.
Well, I mean, you kind of followed in his footsteps, starting with a short story book, jumping to novels. I'm curious, for you as a writer, how big of a jump was that for you?
Oh, I always wanted to be a novel. I mean, because I saw my dad do it, that was always my goal. Like, I honestly, and this is terrible to say, maybe, that I, you know, I I was never really interested in short stories until I went to graduate school, and it turned out that in graduate school, you had to write short stories. Like, I was never, that was never my goal. And so I ended up writing stories and learning to love reading stories enormously. I still love to read short stories. But I haven't written one in a long time, you know, because I always wanted to be a novelist. Like, there's something about the heft of it and the, like, the...
I just wanted to say it was so nice to meet
you. So nice to meet you, Julie. Really enjoyed the conversation. Are you hanging around?
I'll be here. We're leaving, I think, around noon tomorrow. So, yeah, we're going to have another day to explore.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
great
to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Congratulations on
the
book. Bye. See you soon. I will.
I love the interaction. Yeah. So cool. I've got to ask, your love of books, how much fun is it to run a bookstore, a very fun bookstore, in a really cool area, obviously, and one that brings in authors?
Yeah.
What's it like being at a bookstore that's magical in itself?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are writers who are... you know, sort of more on the, like, hermit end of the spectrum. You know, people who are very, very happy to work alone in their houses and to never interact with other people unless they are forced to. But that's not me. You know, like, I've always been outgoing, and I love... I mean, just, like, this environment that we're in right now, you know, where, like, there are writers all over the place. Like, I love that. And it's... It's such a pleasure having a bookstore that always has readers and writers coming in and out and hosting other people and being able to support other people's books is great. It's one of my favorite parts of my job.
I'm curious, in your last novel, were they at Oberlin College? Was that the college?
Yeah, yes, which is where both Ruman and I went. Yeah.
How cool is it to bring in that reality into the stories and mix it into your creative adventure?
Well, I think, you know, we all have our, like...
Hosted by the one and only Emerald Agassi.
We all have our own, I like this Emerald impression on the soundcheck. You know, we all have our own experiences to draw from, and obviously the more detail and depth you can give something, the better it is on the page. And so, there are places that are real, that are sort of disguised, or that work as inspiration, and it's sort of fun to sneak those things in where it's not, I mean, it's obviously not about any one specific place, but yes, for a reader who recognizes, an actual place, it's quite fun, I think, to see how something has been used in fiction.
This may not be a question you can answer. Is there anything in your new book that you've pulled from reality that you can share, other than, of course, your dad?
Like, every single thing. Yeah, I mean, it's... The funny thing about the new book is that it's a love letter to my dad, but it's also a love letter to New York City, and New York City now, and the New York City of the mid-90s when I was in high school. And so there's a lot of stuff about places that don't exist anymore, like my favorite bar that closed years ago, or my favorite restaurant, my favorite diner that closed years ago, you know, like all these places that don't exist in real life in New York City anymore, but in my memories they do, and in 1996 they did. And and so this time I didn't want to disguise anything, you know. I wanted to, I guess there's one where I changed the name, but mostly I just called things what they were, you know. And it's as close as I'm ever gonna get to nonfiction, I think, which is so funny to say about a time travel novel. But it's true.
Now I'm gonna be searching for that one thing you changed. So I've got to ask, as far as when you write Do you write at a desk? Do you type? Like, what are your logistics? Being a parent, does that impact anything?
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, I used to be so precious about being able to work under, you know, certain circumstances. But now I really just need time and silence. I have two very loud children, and so I really just need silence. But I have an office now in my house, and it's great. It has a door that closes.
Does it have a lock?
It doesn't have a lock, and in fact, the door has a glass panel in it, so it's see-through, which is also not ideal. In theory, it was to, like, not block the light coming from, you know, maybe I need a curtain, too.
What's it like coming to festivals like this one? Interacting with authors is so nice. The authors came into the interview. The camaraderie of it all.
Yeah, oh, I love it. I miss this so much. I mean, I'm, you know, it's at the bookstore, I'm really lucky because at the bookstore I have colleagues. You know, I have, you know, a dozen employees who I get to talk to about books all day long, and about whatever, you know, about crappy reality television shows, and sandwiches, like, I mean, all the normal things that you talk to colleagues about. But it is really special to do this again and to see all my writer colleagues in this mode. I've really missed it. I mean, it feels like I do still feel nervous. Like, I'm like, okay, we're outside, we're in a tent, is this okay?
Do we need masks?
Yeah, is it all right? But it feels okay right now, and I feel like that's just, I feel like that's how life is. That's how I'm gonna approach things now, which is like, okay, the numbers are low, the cases are low, the risk seems low. I'm gonna do it while I can, because who knows? You know, I think that more than ever, I have the sense that we don't know what's coming. And so if I can be in New Orleans now and see friends, and then I should do it.
So, since you just sort of mentioned something, I'm going to ask.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it New Orleans-centric, but what's your favorite sandwich?
Well, the sandwich that I have come to New Orleans to eat is a shrimp po' boy. That is what I'm here for. The book festival is a ruse. That's, like, I mean, really, like, any kind of, like, fried seafood sandwich is my favorite kind of sandwich. My in-laws live in South Florida. It's close to the beach. And there are a lot of really good fried fish sandwiches. And not fried, but let's be honest, I like them fried. I know there are probably a lot of people who would vote muffaletta, but I'm going po' boy.
The taste of the ocean helps.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I'm a shrimp po' boy fan too.
Do you have a favorite one?
From here?
Yes.
No, but I'm a Philly guy too. Okay. I love Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah. Yep, delicious. Yeah. Delicious. Can't go wrong.
I like how you switched it out on me. I didn't think about it. It may be too early. Are you already thinking of writing even your next idea?
I really should be.
This one hasn't come out, so you don't have to be.
I mean, yeah, like, I understand. Yes, that's true, and thank you for saying that. But I do think that, like, it's, I always feel best when I have a book out. It's really healthy for me to be at least, like, knee deep, waist deep in something else. Just because it, like, if you let it, the book publication stuff can really sweep you away. You know, it's really easy to get caught up in, like, oh, I'm in a city without my children. I suddenly have many more hours than I normally have. I should go and eat 17 different sandwiches rather than, oh, I should, this is actually a really good time to get work done, and I should, you know, like, it's very easy to not work while you're on book tour and things like that, and I need to use that time. So I have a couple of months to get my head on straight and figure out what my next book is going to be so that I can work on it while I'm on my book tour.
Very cool. So something on your website I love is your way of getting people to want to book, your little explanations.
Mm-hmm.
I love yours, your upcoming books in particular. Can you share, maybe not that, yeah, but if you had to sell your book in just one sentence to anyone,
yeah,
what would you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually, Books Are Magic will be 5 years old in May. And
congrats.
Thank you. And last week was the first time that it occurred to me to write shelf talkers for my own books. Like, you know, shelf talkers are like, you know, the little cards that we stick under or on top of stacks of books to tell people why they're good, right? It's very simple it's like book selling 101 is if you tell someone why something is good, they're more likely to pick it up rather, yeah, than just a random book that has no,
just
know,
the cover to sell.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so I will tell you, for the new one, I mean, I feel like it's my easiest book to pitch because it's time travel. It's got time travel. It's got the 1990s. So it's got good music. It's got good, like, all the like 90s cultural references that people want. It's a father-daughter love story. And it's a tearjerker, and it's funny. So I feel like all of that together should be enough to make someone want to read it.
You had me at time travel, okay, I'll be really honest. So I guess, Emma, I'd love to end it with, is there any hope of your children continuing the line, if you know what I mean?
Well, you know, I mean, so my...
No pressure,
yeah,
on them.
Yeah, I mean, they both... I mean, they love books. That's the important part, is that they love books. My older child started reading very, very early and quite likes making up stories and writing stories. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, there's no pressure. You know, there's no pressure. As long as they both love and respect books, that's all I need. They don't have to be writers.
Will you push your own work on them, or have they already started?
No. I mean, you know, it's in one of the things about writing this time tomorrow. It's this funny, like, it's this weird combination of things, because, like, I feel so lucky that my dad has written so many books, because I understand him better as a person because through those books. Like, just seeing what his obsessions are and, like, how he worked through things in his life. Like, it's all in those books. I mean, not everything, obviously, but a lot of it, a lot of him is in those books. And when I read his books, I see those things more than...
You have the perfect perspective.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's perfect, but it's mine, right? And so I know that my children will have that with my books too. And this book is like, it's like a sandwich of that, because in with this time tomorrow, my children will have all of me and all of my dad. You know, like, all in one book. Like, it's not just like, oh, mom was thinking a lot about family or whatever. You know, it's like, no, mom was thinking about pops. And, like, that's what's on this. I mean, even though the character is not identical to my dad, and the character is not identical to me, the love is identical. So that I think will be something that they have forever.
I don't think there's a better way to end it. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope...